Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My next guest was on Jesse Waters yesterday, but he's also a former U.S. attorney from the Northern District of Alabama. His name is Jay Towne. You've seen him on Greta Van Susteren. You've seen him with a tie on national television that looked like it came from the movie Casino, made by Martin Scorsese. The dimple was absolutely on point. Well done, Jay Towne. You've got a piece in the Daily Caller that almost reads like satire, if it wasn't true. I mean, you lay out the case of why this isn't justice. This isn't due process. This is the perfect lawfare prosecution, and it is anything but perfect. That's Jay Towne in Daily Caller. You can check that out. You can also follow him on X at Jay Towne, Alabama. Jay Towne, I mean, I'm just still trying to figure out this catch and kill thing. I mean, that's pretty much what NBC News did with the Hunter Biden laptop, isn't it?
Well, sure. And I mean, if you really want to extend it, David, it also, I mean, if you're influencing an election by the use of third parties, forget about the NDAs, but think about the Steele dossier, right? I mean, that was total misinformation that was meant to influence corruptly, I might add, a federal election. And, you know, the Manhattan DA's office didn't even sniff Hillary in 2016 or 17 or 18. Right. I mean, that was just stuff that was being done. And remember, she ended up paying an FEC fine for those transgressions because it wasn't a legal campaign operation, which was based out of New York. And the legal expenses for that were not properly booked. At the end of the day, so what is so confounding to me is we're on day, you know, this is week two of the Trump trial in Manhattan. I still don't know, as a prosecutor for 22 years at what some would say a fairly high level, don't know what Trump is charged with, what crime he is charged with committing. They're saying he falsified his business records, and we can talk about that because that's not true. But then he also had to commit another crime and to make it a felony. We don't know what that other crime is. We don't know if it's a federal election law, which is what Alvin Bragg has been saying. We don't know if it's this New York state law, which is this
conspiracy to
to promote or prevent an election where two more people conspire. This is the August 2015 meeting, right? They conspire to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means, right? So what is unlawful? He falsified business records, and then they conspired to falsify business records, and that's called duplicity in the law. Duplicity is you can't have two charges that are so intertwined that it's basically one charge repeating itself. So I don't even know that the Manhattan DA's office understands what they've indicted here. But secondly, and I think most importantly, I've not yet heard evidence of a crime. There hasn't been a single thing. I mean, it's really easy. Oh, you know, the breathless pundits on MSNBC, right? Oh, man, they're really doing a fantastic job of laying out with David Pecker this meeting in August where they conspired to, you know, catch and kill stories and give NDAs to women who come forward. And hey, guys, it's real easy to prove legal conduct, right? I mean, if someone wanted to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that I drove into work today, it wouldn't be really difficult for them to do it. But it would be really hard for them to prove that I drove recklessly. So they're talking about these facts, and they're trying to turn it into an illegal thing that people in the media were working on behalf of their friend Donald Trump, or that a lawyer was willing to, you know, front NDA money to these women. That none of that is legal, but they're trying to frame it as if it is, because perhaps it's tawdry. I get that. But it's not against the law. So I'm still waiting for like someone to explain what the crime is here.
So Jay Town joins us. You can follow him on X.com at J-Town, Alabama. You can also check out his new piece at the Daily Caller, where he kind of lays this whole thing out and talks about lawfare and breaks that down, which I think is fascinating. If you don't know what is happening in this Trump case, Jay, here's what, just define the purpose of a gag order, because I was under the impression as a layman, not a guy who served in the Marine Corps like you did as a JAG officer and all the different things that you've done for America. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I find it odd that I would not want evidence to be presented during a trial, and that would mean the defendant or the a witness, anyone connected. The gag order would be over, like, umbrella the entire trial, would it not?
Yeah, so you're 100% right, but yet we have Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen hosts a podcast where this is all he has talked about. Right. It's actually named after this case, the podcast. And so, and you have Stormy Daniels out there doing the same thing, you know, selling T-shirts at strip clubs, trying to make money off of her appearance in this trial and the fame that comes with it for her, or infamy, perhaps. And so what I'll say about the gag order is this. There, folks need to understand the purpose of a gag order. And I've dealt with them as a prosecutor where you do have defendants who are threatening witnesses, or you have defense lawyers making extrajudicial statements that are inappropriate. Like, there's a witness who recanted his story and we've suppressed that evidence, but they're trying to get it out there anyway. The purpose of a gag order is to protect the integrity of the trial process. The law generally is that courts have the authority to restrain those aspects of speech that present a, and this is key, David, significant and imminent risk to the fair and orderly administration of justice. That's fair. Mm. We should expect that, right? We want fair and orderly administration of justice. And if somebody is posing a significant and imminent risk to that, then there should be some sort of way for the courts to fashion some rules. Now, if you believe that Trump referring to Michael Cohen as a perjurer or Stormy Daniels as a porn star, those are historical and legal facts. And that's going to be said to the jury in the courtroom. It's not an extrajudicial statement. It's not intimidating. Those are the realities of those two witnesses. If you believe somehow, if you can even get past the legal fiction that saying such is a significant and imminent risk to the fair and orderly administration of justice, you still have to temper that. You still have to balance that against the free speech rights of the person you're gagging, in this case, former President Trump, who is the Republican nominee. He's running for president of the United States. You have these people, these witnesses that are appearing on, you know, Sunday news shows and being talked about, their tweets are being talked about by the media. And yet Merchan is preventing Trump for exercising his constitutional right of free speech to counter such antagonism. And it's universally understood that political speech is fundamental to the First Amendment. It's a basic tenet of the First Amendment. And this really just this gag order is an unconstitutional and legal absurdity. And it really shows the permissive bias of Judge Mershon in this case.
And so basically for D.A. Bragg to be correct, J-Town, it would be a crime for a person that's running for office to get two or more people to suppress anything that's damaging. That's New York politics right there. I mean, that's the entire, that's what all politicians do, is suppress negative information about themselves or their party. If that's a crime to do, I think that's the biggest impact on electioneering since McCain-Feingold.
Well, of course it's not, right? And I know you're saying that tongue in cheek. It's not just New York politics. It's politics everywhere, certainly Alabama politics, and it's presidential politics. You know, there was, I mean, if you think about the Russia collusion story, Hillary Clinton was planting that story inside of major news outlets, not the National Enquirer, and they ran with it for years, right? Until the Mueller report was a big dud. So it is not against the law to do Oppo research. It is not against the law to have non-disclosure agreements or to pay people for those NDAs. And that's, you know, just the underworld or underbelly of politics. And it happens. The curious thing about this, too, is there will be no proof that Donald Trump directed anybody to list anything in any ledger. So the legal retainer, legal expenses. I mean, you know, when you're paying a lawyer, that's a pretty reasonable description of why you're paying them. It's not a cover up, right? They didn't put it for, right, you know, monthly car wash bill, right? And so at the end of the day, though, they're going to have to eat the evidence. The state of New York is the prosecution that, you know, Trump was in the White House when all of these checks to Michael Cohen were cut. Trump was under a trust because the emoluments clause, where he actually couldn't direct anything inside, right, of his organization. Right. But he got a bill sent to him. So he sent it off to the Trump organization to pay for it. And, you know, he was protecting. Yeah, sure. There's a political purpose to it. He never directed Michael Cohen or David Pecker to catch and kill any story or to pay anybody any money. They did that on their own and told him about it later. You know, he never reimbursed the National Enquirer for the doorman story or the Karen McDougal story. They just ate it. You know why? They wanted access to the most powerful man in the world, right? And David, this is David Pecker's buddy, right? What's a couple hundred grand between friends? So, honestly, this case is collapsing on the weight of its own absurdity.
But can I just say, though, that by the way, you always know a joke lands when J-Town's first response is, I think that's tongue-in-cheek, which means 20% of J-Town thinks I might be an idiot.
You said
ivermectin makes you gay, Bella V, and I think that was tongue-in-cheek because you can't possibly be that stupid.
I've never heard that.
No. But of course not. Jay, I want to ask you, though, if the number three guy in the DOJ leaves a job, finds a job, he joined the Manhattan DA specifically to prosecute Trump, did he not?
He did, just for this case. And don't forget, the original Michael Cohen prosecution in Southern District of New York for tax evasion, the case was originally referred as a federal elections case to SDNY that Michael Cohen, with that $130,000 payment, violated federal election law. Well, they were hoping that they would be able to get to Trump through that referral. You know who that referral came from? The Mueller report. Special Counsel Mueller referred that to SDNY. And who was a part of that? What MSNBC pundit do we see Andrew
Weissman.
Yeah, and he's shocked at what David Pecker is saying right now. You know who gave David Pecker immunity? The Department of Justice, SDNY, after this referral. Pecker gave them Cohen and got immunity when he did it. This whole thing is just an inside baseball political lawfare grab. And for them to feign sort of incredulity and shock that, you know, anyone would coordinate with the media in politics at MSNBC, especially. It's just you can't even make it up. It's just so disappointing that these people aren't serious, you know.
But if you were Jay Town, if you
in the world, David.
If you were in the business of justice and you knew the Supreme Court of the United States was hearing arguments on presidential immunity, doesn't it make sense that you would wait on your prosecution until what the Supreme Court, because if the Supreme Court scope is what they're being asked right now, and they say you can't go after a president while he's in office or for his actions in office, then this whole thing is gone because he was president of the United States when it happened.
100%. And just from the economy of judicial resources, you would think Judge Merchan would realize that, right? He's tying up his courtroom for a considerable amount of months over a case that Trump might be immune from prosecuting. Remember, all those checks that were written were in 2017, right? And that's when the business records were falsified. It doesn't matter. The 2015 meeting doesn't matter at all as it relates to the initial charge of falsifying business records. And so if he was in office doing anything, President Trump is asking the Supreme Court to find that he is immune from prosecution. And I'll say this, as ridiculous as it might sound to folks, let's say in the middle or on the left or right, that you would have to impeach a president before he can be prosecuted for something that he did while he was in office. Sounds ridiculous, but it's not. Think about it. Think about, could an enterprising district attorney in Alabama, where we had a Marine that was killed on the withdrawal of Afghanistan, could that DA, could
charge
he indict
the president
of the United States for reckless endangerment of an Alabama citizen and bring him? I mean, where is this? Is this legal lawfare going to end?
Obama's dropping bombs on U.S. citizens in his administration in foreign lands. I mean, you want to talk about a constituency. That's a problem. So let me, of all the cases that Trump is facing right now, the Mar-a-Lago one is coming to light. And the more information that we hear from people that have gone through these redacted documents that were, I mean, just a treasure trove of information was put out in the last 48 hours. But for the folks that have gone through it, Jay, one of the things that they're saying, Jay Town, former U.S. attorney at Jay Town, Alabama on Twitter, X.com, is that, you know, this, the White House started this investigation in May of 21, May of 21. I mean, how this totally originated from the White House special, the counsel of the White House is what referred this to the Department of Justice.
And what is so important about your point there, David, and it's an excellent point, is that what we're seeing in these documents that are being unsealed in the Mar-a-Lago case is that the National Archives, really, I would argue that it started on January 20th, because the archivist at the time, a guy named Ferrero, he noticed that there were boxes being loaded onto Marine One, and didn't look in the boxes, didn't know it was in the boxes, but he thought that was really strange. And then he found that there were some presidential records that hadn't quite made its way back to the archives yet. And the archives lawyer said, that's normal, right? Especially in a one-term presidency. This could go on for years. A few months later, Ferrero's talking to White House counsel's office. He's talking to the FBI and DOJ. And then they duped Trump into returning boxes to NARA that had documents more classified. And from there, they leaked it to the January 6th committee. The FBI, a month later, started their investigation at the direction of Attorney General Garland, because they had this sort of admission of 15 boxes filled with documents marked classified. And then we went to grand jury subpoena to search warrant to indict.
You had the Trump administration was recommended to the day. I'm sorry. Trump was recommended to the DOJ by the Biden administration before the National Archives finished digitizing Trump's records. They weren't even done doing an inventory on what was missing. They couldn't have known something was missing.
Well, and even if they did know that something was missing, there is always this argument under the Presidential Records Act. And we saw this with Rob Herr's report onto the Biden documents, which I still maintain Rob was right in his conclusions, right? Both in his use of prosecutorial discretion, that this is not what we do. But two, there's always this argument about what is my personal record, meaning the, for instance, the letter from Kim Jong-un, right, to President Trump, right? That's a classified record, but it was a letter to me. That's my record. That's my personal record. These notes about that meeting that I took, it was a classified meeting. David, you know, you've sat in those before. You take notes during a classified meeting. Your notes are now classified at the classification level of the meeting. And so, but presidents all the time, everyone since Eisenhower, has taken records home when they left the White House. They go up to the residence in the White House. They find themselves into a desk drawer. They tell GSA to pack up the desk and take everything home. And lo and behold, Obama had hundreds of thousands of pages of classified records. So did Biden. So did George W. Bush. So did Clinton. Clinton had a sock drawer full of classified materials, right, that he considered his personal records because they were his tapes of classified conversations. Doesn't make the conversations any less classified. But in all those cases, they did the right thing. They got it back and they said, OK, you know, same with Hillary Clinton and her personal servers. But with Trump, he's different. Right.
He is different.
Trump and he is. And I'll say this, too. Let me. And I only have a minute, David. I'm sorry. I only have a minute left.
I got you. You're a minute past where I am. So go ahead.
OK. All right. Let me just say this. For whatever people think about Donald Trump, all right, and he is boisterous, to put it politely, and I'm forever grateful of the opportunity that he gave me to work in his administration. But I'll say this, the man must have, and you're an American hero, David, Donald Trump must have alligator blood in his veins, because he is taking all of this, every punch they throw right on his chin, he takes every single one of them. That thing is made of steel. And so I think there's something to admire about his mettle.
I can't say, and you're absolutely right. Mortal men would crumble. At J-Town, Alabama, you can follow him on Twitter. See him on Greta Van Susteren on Newsmax or Jesse Waters on Fox News. He comes here when he has time. Right now, Daily Caller has his piece. It's absolutely brilliant. J-Town, former U.S. Attorney, Northern District, Alabama. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, Jay Town. We come back, we'll follow up with what Jay was talking about with some more factoids on this Mar-a-Lago deal and take your phone calls, 803-0930, right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.